I would like to have a sense of how many of you would be interested to have a dinner together in Hermes. Hermes is a traditional coffee house in so-called Panoskala here in Mytilene. It's very easy to go there, and we have to make an arrangement to book. So, dinner.
Do you want to
dinner? Yes, please. Λοιπόν, οκ, 1, 2, 3, 4, Κάρολ, 5, 6, 6, 7, please, 7, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18, 20, λέμε 20 άτομα τουλάχιστον. Λοιπόν, εντάξει, 20. All right, thank you very much.
I will have now for 20 minutes a double function of chairman and presenter of a paper. I will present the paper by Lambert Stilio, which is the second paper of our project in Volos, and she was one of our main researchers. We want to thank her very much for the excellent work she has done. I had the opportunity to read the paper last night after our jazz session for the first time, but I saw that it fits very well. It complements the paper I presented yesterday. So the title of the paper is Bulgarian Migrant Women Working as Living Caregivers of the Elderly, Reflections on Domestic and Public. And it starts with two pictures, which unfortunately I cannot show you, but they are very well described in the paper, so you can have an image. Allow me to start this paper by describing two photos. The first one depicts four women, all Bulgarian, sitting around the table, raising their glasses and looking at the camera. The table is laid with food, and everything signifies that they are about to have a nice dinner. The second photo shows more women standing in front of a table full of all sorts of foods and drinks, again holding their glasses and raising them while looking at the camera. In spite of seemingly almost the same, there is an important difference between the two photos. They are taken in different settings. In the first photo, the action takes place in the living room of the house, which belongs to the employer of one of the Bulgarian women shown in the photo. On the other hand, the second photo is taken in one of the most popular parks in the city of Volos, near the seafront. Before explaining you the reason for the of the particular photos here and how they are related to the point that I want to make in this presentation, let me first give the context around these two photos. The owner of them is Svetla, a Bulgarian woman who lives in the city of Volos and works as a live-in caregiving of elderly. I first met Svetla one summer afternoon on the beach, where she and other Bulgarian women working also as living caregivers would go for a swim, enjoying their 3 to 4 hours of work. Later on, I got to know her better when she came to attend the Greek language lessons organized for migrants by a social and political organization in the city of Volos. Being a member of this organization, I had started teaching voluntarily in one of the classes being held there, and Svetla was one of my students. Through our constant contact, we came really close, and so when I asked her to have a videotaped interview with me, she immediately accepted. The interview was based on Svetla's personal photo album and the narration that each of the photos produced. This interview and a number of others conducted with Albanian and Bulgarian men and women living in the city of Volos were conducted for the scope of our research project, which I have already described to you yesterday. One of the goals of this project was the creation of a digitized photograph archive and linked website constituted collaboratively with informants from their photographs and narratives about them. This paper draws on findings of the particular research project. Already from the beginning of our fieldwork research, and while trying to build some networks with Bulgarian migrants living in the city of Volos, we got some important information. As somebody told us, every afternoon a number of Bulgarian women would gather in a big park near the university, spending a considerable amount of time there chatting around and enjoying the company of each other. These women were working as living domestic workers, taking care of old native men and women being in need of their help. The time that they met in the park was the only chance they had to get out of the house and have some time off work, usually 2 to 3 hours. At that time, their old employers would usually take their midday nap after lunch. Indeed, after our first visit there, we realized that these women form a type of community, the park being one of its basic points of reference. Most of the women who belong to this community are between 40 to 60 years old and have come to Greece alone. Some are married with children, while others are divorced. In any case, they have some kind of family, husband, children, parents, back in the country of origin, whom they economically support through their labor here in Greece. Responding to the question why they and not their husbands decided to migrate, they usually point to the fact that it is easier for women to find a job in one of the destination countries, usually in the service sector. Most of them have a temporary short-time project related to an income target geared to specific projects at home. For example, to save money to build a house, pay for the university education of the children, pay off a loan, and so on. However, apart from the economic reasons that are usually alleged by these women, it seems that the decision to migrate works also as a way out to family problems that have arisen in the home country. Not being able to bear a difficult situation, and instead of directly affronting gender ideologies and practices, or of breaking with the social and family environment, they choose to migrate as an indirect act of resistance. Let me now return to the two photos that I cited in the beginning and relate them to the particular questions I want to touch on in this paper. In both photos, I believe there is an inherent contradiction between space and meaning. I will start from the second photo. As I have already mentioned, the particular park where this photo was taken is the standard place of meeting of the majority of the Bulgarian women who work as living caregivers. There, every afternoon, they come together to discuss their problems related to work, to express their concerns for the regime of their residence and work in Greece, to exchange information about the job market, but also to hear and exchange news from Bulgaria, to arrange their journeys back home and the way to send presents, monies and goods back to their family. This locality constitutes a kind of refuge for these women, as it is the only place where they can exist beyond their employment status. Because it is the only occasion they have to get out of the house they work, the time they spend there is actually the only personal time they have. Beginning in the 19th century with the development of capitalist societies, a number of marked divisions emerged, distinguishing the public sphere outside the house from the private one inside it, and the working time from the personal time. The worker time is usually considered the time spent outside the house in different labor environments, while after the working day ends, the worker is supposed to return to the safe environment of the house to rest and enjoy his or her free time. In the case of the particular group of Bulgarian women, a somehow opposite process takes place. The time spent in the domestic sphere is their working time, while the time spent out of it in a public space like the park is in reality their personal time. In these 2 or 3 hours away from work, and because they don't have a house of their own, the park is transformed into a space hosting meanings and activities otherwise related to the private or domestic sphere. Scenes like the one depicted in the particular photo are usually take usually place in the park. Small celebrations are organized on the occasion of different events, birthdays and name days of themselves and of members of their families, births of grandchildren at home, graduations of their children, a permanent return of a member of this community to the home country and to her family. Benches or tables from nearby cafes are used for the food that has been specially prepared and the drinks that have been brought for the celebration. The space is symbolically transformed into a living room where friends are welcomed and are offered treats through which they become participants in the celebration of the specific event. Furthermore, the use of the specific site and the practices performed by the Bulgarian living caregivers related to it signifies an effort to symbolically inscribe their presence into the urban space beyond the given terms and conditions of visibility available to them. Migrant women working as domestic workers are often perceived in the bibliography as socially invisible, mainly because of the kind of work they practice and because of their citizenship status. Confined to the space of the house, for them a workplace, and to the role of modern servants, their presence is seldom analyzed in other contexts than that of the working environment, and what is stressed is the degree of agency that this context deprives them of. Nevertheless, these women exist as social subjects in multiple contexts and roles. It seems to me that for these women, the park plays the role of the home that they don't have in Greece. First, in the sense of the physical space that hosts meanings and activities that would normally be inscribed in someone's domestic space. And secondly, in the sense of the commensality that it produces. Being a member of it and participating in its practices feels in a certain degree like being at home. Everything that is experienced in this space and the sociability that is produced and reproduced there has a direct connection to the home in the country of origin. Births, marriages, baptisms, birthdays and other important events of family members back in Bulgaria are all celebrated within this Bulgarian community of women living caregivers in the site of the park. I would now like to return to the first photo and examine its different setting, the place of the house where these women work. In Greece, until recently, it was usual for the extended family to stay together in the same house. When the parents would get older, one of the children would undertake the care of them, sharing also the same house. The last years, because of the weakening of the institution of the family and of certain social values related to it, there are a great number of elderly people staying alone in a house different than that of their married children. The Bulgarian migrant women come to make up for this vacuum. Consequently, in the specific space, the domestic space, which is directly related to the performance and reproduction of family relations and structures, accommodates new roles and practices, and the working regime, which is promoted exactly because of the weakening of these particular family structures. Instead of family relationship, we have now special working relationships, which seems to be, to be structured based on the analogy of the kinship relations. The Bulgarian woman performs tasks and duties that children are supposed to assume for their parents, and she is furthermore expected to fill the emotional gap that they have left. In this sense, the space of the house takes on a new lease of life through this woman's presence and activity. They actually become the new mistresses, nikokires, of the house, being responsible for its physical and social reproduction. Except from doing all the household tasks, keeping everything in order within it, preparing the meals, doing all the shopping, and every task outside the house that is related to the good sustenance of its life and structure, like paying the bills, They are also producing a social life within the household. Firstly, through their relationship with their employers, the old man or woman of whom they take care, a relation which cannot be depicted in strict job terms. Living in the same house 24 hours a day, they share the same daily routine, and they jointly produce and reproduce the household. One of the elements of primary importance characterizing the domestic space are the relationships being developed because of the meanings which are produced within it. This element seems to be missing from the houses of the elderly people who usually stay alone until they employ the Bulgarian living. The admission of another person in this space, except from the practical needs that it comes to serve, also creates a new social life for the household. We usually tend to think of the women working as living domestics only in relation to their job status and treat the houses where they work, but also live, as a workplace. This means that we usually examine narratives, practices and roles as these are produced in the context of a working site and relationship. But we often forget that at the same time, this house is for the living domestics some form of home. Practicing their job duties means also creating and preserving a household and being a significant part of it. Through the first photo that I described to you in the beginning of this paper, it became evident to me that except from a particular daily routine within the house, which focus on the relationship of the elderly person with the living caregiving, and which produces specific meanings, the new meanings are created within it with regard to personal and social life of the Bulgarian woman. The scene depicted in the particular photo is not something uncommon, as Svetla, the Bulgarian woman to whom this photo belongs, explained to me. In the houses where they work and stay, they pretty often get visits from friends and arranged meetings for coffee or lunch. Particularly, the absence of the employer and owner of the house from the dinner, shown in the photo, signifies the possibility for different spheres of action to coexist within the house, and also the degree of domestication of the space by the Bulgarian living caregiver. This photo theme evokes memories of any other family or friend's dinner. The interesting part in it, though, is the Bulgarian caregiver in the role of the housekeeper. Depending on the years of work and the relation of trust built with the employer, there is a greater degree of reappropriation of the domestic space and a greater need to inscribe their presence there beyond the terms of the work regime. This last point becomes evident when looking at the personal photo album of Stevka, another Bulgarian woman who has worked for many years as living caregiver in different houses of elderly people. Stevka has a passion with photography, so there are a great variety of photos taken at different moments and settings in her album. Among them, there are some who depict Stevka in different rooms of the houses in which she has occasionally worked. The interesting part in these photos is that she is always pictured alone and never in the company of her employer or any other person. Furthermore, there are no indications that there has been a special occasion, like a celebration, in the context of which these photos were taken. The coded message of these photos regards two elements: the particular space and this woman's presence in it. What a viewer can read in them, helped by the specific pose and the simplicity of the setting, is a person posing in the interior of his or her house. The practice of Stevka to be photographed in all the houses she has worked in the specific way, never in a common photo with her employer and with no signs revealing her working identity, might be seen as an act of resistance. She chooses to portray a different relation of herself with the domestic space questioning the roles and notions of power and hierarchy inscribed in it as a working environment. Conclusion. Through my contact with Bulgarian migrant women in Volos, working as living caregivers of the elderly, I realized that two particular places, a specific park and the domestic space of their employers, constitute the most important points of reference around which they construct their everyday lives and their migration experience in Greece. On the one hand, the park transfigures the concept of home for the whole community and symbolizes the need for personal space and time. Through the practices performed there, a collectivity is produced and reproduced through which the site acquires a transnational character. On the other hand, the domestic space, apart from signaling a new working relationship that it accommodates, it also accommodates new meanings which are determined by its Bulgarian residents and which go beyond their role as domestic. In this way, they reappropriate the space of the house and transform it into their home, in an attempt to cope with their given position in it. Thank you. So now I change my cap. I'm German again. And now we have the pleasure to have hear about another project about migrant domestic workers from a very different perspective, the team of the Polytechnical School in Athens, the School of Architecture. So please, actually, you can organize between you.
Actually, I think that the paper you've read and our paper have two things in common: the introduction of the concept of space and the positive aspect of the migration experience. Our presentation is a collective paper written by the present ladies here, and we are part of a wider research group. The presentation is based on ongoing research conducted at the National Technical University of Athens under the heading Interwoven Everyday Lives and Socio-Spatial Changes Within Cities, Migrant and Local Women in the Neighborhoods of Athens. The research addresses the issue of the changes in central Athenian neighborhoods that resulted from large-scale settlement of migrants during the 90s from the perspective of gender. We approach the issue through the convergence of the different everyday realities of migrant and local women as these meet within the employer-domestic helper relationship in the context of domestic or caregiving work. As the title suggests, the present research focuses on the following three issues. First is the urban setting, the city and its neighborhood, and its transformation. The second is the migration towards cities in southeastern Europe and more specifically Athens. Gender as a perspective for examining these issues. Also, the experience of everyday life is the central organizing axis of this research. The multifaceted nature of the issues examined in this research demanded that we adopt an approach that involves parallel and complementary quantitative and qualitative investigations. We have chosen as our case studies two neighborhoods in Athens, Kypseli and Sepolia, in which we conducted biographical interviews on the basis of an interview guide with migrant domestic helpers and all caregivers from Albania and Bulgaria who live in the area and with their women employers. The research material also includes interviews with privileged informants, that is, migrant communities, support networks and bodies, schools in these neighborhoods, old residents real estate agents, and also data collected from on-site research in the two neighborhoods, that is a systematic and complete documentation of the current situation and of recent change in building uses, infrastructure and services. A few clarifications now. These interviews should not be regarded as leading to quantitative assessments and generalization, but as a way of gaining an understanding of the specific experience of individual migrant helpers and their women employers on a case-by-case basis as these emerge through personal narration. This presentation contains some indications from an initial processing of the biographical interviews conducted with live-out domestics. These indications fall under the following three headings: paid domestic work, women employer and domestic helper relation, and the neighborhood. Unfortunately, we will have to skip the part on paid domestic work, and we will concentrate on the other two. Quote, when we began, our need and insecurity made us accept everything. Later, the relation became good, and we again accept everything because of our friendship. This is a quotation from the narrative of a migrant woman working as domestic helper, and as you can see, she speaks on behalf of her lot. The relationships we have, the relationships that are changing, the emerging relationships in a specific place, how these relationships shape people and places. There is a tradition in Greek society of women helping in households with or without payment. In both cases, though, the relationship between women is a personal one. After the collapse of communist regimes, there was a sharp increase of labor supply in the domestic work sector in Greece from women who are often highly qualified, but at the same time familiar with this type of work from their own homes. The demand for this type of work increased along with a consumerist mentality and a prevalent desire for more comfort and fewer chores. Today, many Greek women are in paid employment and have careers. Yet, household work is still considered to be one of their duties as part of a more general mentality that attaches importance to a need for houses to be clean, neat, and looked after. As a result, many Greek women, irrespective of professional status, and either because of need or a heavy schedule, or of a feeling that it is natural, seek the paid services of another woman for their households, children, or elderly relatives. A meeting of two strangers. The private space of one woman becomes the workplace of the other. While the latter goes about her work, the employer might be at the house for the entire time, for some of the time, or absent. Two women, one of whom allocates to the other a part of her duties, coexist for 2, 4, or 6 hours. They come into contact, and above all, they speak. One might be giving the other directions, or perhaps even reprimanding her for the way something was done or not done. They might have coffee together, a snack or a meal. They might even talk about things that are personal and unconnected with work. The relationship might be formal, but not necessarily so, since this also depends on how long the one has been working at the other's house. It also depends on each person's private life, their character, the way they see each other, and the extent to which they are compatible. We come to narratives now. Mariana is a 37-year-old Albanian woman who has lived in Greece for the past 7 years. She's a woman who defines herself solely through her family and prefers to have a formal relationship with her employers. Quote, I have no complaint, and I have heard no complaint from them, and I'm very happy with them. They are very proper with me. Unquote. Clementina is a 27-year-old Albanian woman who has lived in Greece since she was 17. She does not like her job, but talked extensively about how everyone takes care of her, how they love her, and how she loves them. When they first went to Larissa, her husband did not urge her to seek paid employment. Quote, only a very nice lady that I love very much, Mary, she loved me very much too, and she was like a mother to me. I would sit all day with her. Clementina now cleans a dentist's office in her neighborhood twice a week. Twice a month, she cleans at the dentist's mother-in-law where, quote, she wants me to go extra, mostly to Ireland, because she uses another lady who cleans the house very well, and because she does not want me to get tired. Anita is 33. She was 70 when she came to Greece and is married to a man who gives her a hard time. She's the one who takes exclusive care of her family and is on very good terms with her 5 current employers for whom she has worked for 12 years. She's a woman that needs to talk and who, sighing in relief, said, quote, I talked and I feel better now. At the end of our interview, her employers have become almost like an extended family, and they see her like their daughter. They have given her support and extensive help over the years. Quote, when my child is sick, they say stay home and they give me my wage. Now that my mother was sick, they helped me again. They found doctors to help at the hospital. Do they chat at all? I asked her. There are so much in my life that, yes, we have talked about everything. As far as I'm concerned, we say everything. During lunch, we eat sometimes together. We sit and talk over coffee. The woman I work for twice a week, she sits with me and we talk while I cook or do the ironing. What about beyond work hours? Quote, when there is a christening, a wedding, they invite me to everything, to parties even, but we have never gone out for coffee and things like that. No. Unquote. She has gone on vacation twice with her employers, once to her employer's country house in Preveza, and once to Mytilene with the youngest of her employers, of whom she said, quote, she sees you as an equal. This you cannot find. It is very rare. But then, she says apprehensively, when there is a connection with money, it is difficult to have a friendship, normal friendship. She feels very close to these women, but she also wonders whether this is a mistake or whether this might be against her financial interests. She will not quit to take another job, nor will she ask for a raise. Anita had a particularly attractive personality. Eleni, 37 years old and in Greece since she was 27, surprised me. I felt very close to her, almost as if we had grown up together. I left with the sense of having had a conversation on completely equal terms, and this despite the fact that we talked in Greek, a language that she had first heard 10 years ago. Quote, now in the last 4 years, my life has improved. But before, it wasn't like that. I worked at different houses. Not all people are the same. You come across very different people. One person might insult you. The other has her quirks. But you're also a human being. You have feelings. You don't care only about the money. And then you get upset and you cry. And when you are at a foreign place, it really gets to you. With Mrs. Chrysanthi, another employer, employer.
A different case now.
A different case now, yes. We sang and danced. This is true. We had a good time. She had come a couple of times to my house, and we had a very good time, a very good time. I might also tend to be an easy person. No, not easy. I mean that I love the other person. If I love someone, that's that. Then that's it. That's how it stays. Eleni made extensive reference to two other of her employers, those she felt closest with. One was a neighbor with whom she struck up a conversation while they were both hanging close to dry. When the Greek woman, who until then cleaned the house, got sick, Eleni started going. Her employer then gave her her house for antiparochi and moved across the street. When the building was finished, she asked her if she was interested in renting the apartment that belonged to her. Her employer said to Eleni, "I want people for me, and because I know you, I want you." Today, this woman is 83 years old and lives on her own. And so, quote, "she has her helper, but we also have our own friendship. We are close, we are like a family. There's trouble if she doesn't see me every day. Any time of day or night, we treat her like our own grandmother." Even more of interest, quote, "what I mean is that it is a relationship that begins in self-interest, she out of self-interest, me too out of self-interest, but then it becomes something different. I bond with people." Her other employer baptized her child when she came to Greece. Over the past 3 years, she had been going 3 times a week to her house, where she does, quote, "whatever I would do at my own house, I do there, from shopping to ironing. When she is at home, we have a very good time. We cook together, we do things around the house, we talk about the kids, and this is the greatest help I get because life is different to what we were used to in Albania." And also, quote, "this lady makes you feel like you are somebody." Though she wonders, quote, "so I ask myself, what kind of life am I leading? I clean and then I come home and I clean again and I cook again and I iron again and then the next day the same thing all over again." Her employer reprimands her. "Don't do this to yourself. Are you lacking anything? Are your children lacking anything?" When we interviewed the employer, she said, quote, "this woman could be my colleague. I don't feel comfortable that she does the work in my house." Of course, she keeps this to herself. Both know that this work is considered inferior and that it is undervalued. But personal relations eventually do develop, which are often positive and supportive. In time, these develop into relationships that resemble family bonds. Now go from domestic to neighborhood space. We will start with an employer's view of the neighborhood. Quote, "my child will not be fortunate enough to have the neighborhood experience." These are the words of a young employer, a working woman, speaking about the neighborhood relations in terms of her child's needs, socialization, and familiarization with the urban environment. That is to say, in terms of the development of relationships with children of her child's age outside the house. For her, a neighborhood involves relationships that are created in an area in which the house, the school, and open safe spaces within walking distance are the main coordinates. Though in reference to her child, she has a very specific conception of her neighborhood's boundaries, when she refers to her own experience of Kypseli as a neighborhood, she seems to have in mind an area that extends beyond Ameriki Square. Kipseli as a location is bound by the grandfather's house in Lower Merki Square and by her parents' house in Anno Kipseli. She says, since I was born, I have never cut myself off from the neighborhood. There are many interesting conceptions of neighborhood. Through this, we have been able to keep an open mind in relation to the experiences and representations of neighborhood on the part of migrant and local employers. At the same time, we'd like to point out that our research alludes to a number of problematic connected to this presentation. One of these concerns the transient context of neighborhoods through which we attempt to create a synthesis as opposed to an identification of place and community, neither of which can be regarded as closed and bounded. According to this conception, most places and neighborhoods regarded as locations are meeting places, constellations of itineraries that are constantly changing, in which the concept of belonging changes and becomes an object of negotiation. A second issue concerns the idea of city and neighborhood as a privileged context for the study of everyday life, but also as a context connected with the changes brought about by major migrant population movements. Neighborhoods, in particular, as immediate environment and as context of becoming familiar with cities, are conducive to the study of migrant experience, especially neighborhoods with a high concentration of migrants. In our presentation, we focus on the neighborhood of Kipseli. This is a central Athens neighborhood at a small distance from Omonia Square, with a particularly high public presence of migrants. Today's Kipseli is mostly the result of construction that went on until the late 70s, making it officially one of the most problematic neighborhoods of the Athens municipality, with high density and population levels, pollution, car circulation and parking problems, very few open spaces and inadequate infrastructure. As a result of these problems, which peaked in the early 80s, many older residents and some young and wealthy ones relocated to the northeastern and southeastern suburbs. The stereotypical portrayals of Kipseli have a tendency to emphasize the negative aspects of Athenian neighborhoods. Yet, these aspects are the result of urbanization processes that led to an urban environment that is vibrant and socially varied, in which successive waves of internal migrants eventually found ways of integrating themselves into city life. In the 90s, the arrival of migrants from the Balkans, Africa, and elsewhere changed rapidly the neighborhood and led to an increase of its population. Kipseli's densely built blocks and its network of narrow streets that are conducive to social interaction, its accessibility and proximity to the city center yielded a rich urban environment to its new residents. We set up the households in the many available basement and lower floor apartments of the buildings. Our survey shows that to a large degree, migrant women develop functional strategies for attaining the direct aims of their migration project. Somewhat paradoxically, it appears that the absence of an institutional basis contributes to the achievement of those aims. The nature itself of domestic work is such that it places migrants within an ecos, a typically familiar and friendly place. At least on the symbolic level, this leads to the emergence of bonds of love, care and companionship that transcend particularities and differences. The household is the place where two strangers, employer and domestic helper, meet within a hierarchical relationship that becomes even more pronounced if it is seen from the perspective of migrant women versus local women. The migrant woman has a different cultural identity. Very often she might be both highly educated and very poor. but it appears that this infused the migrant woman strategy with a certain familiarity and non-conscious similarity. Many migrant women, despite being highly educated and underemployed, believe that they can meet the demands of domestic work because, quote, every woman knows this job, and because, I quote, I know what a housewife does. What they know how to do and actually end up doing is essentially what their employer can also do. Her search for work by word of mouth through her employer's friends and relatives or through neighbors and shop owners prepares her for social integration into a new socio-spatial environment, initially at the neighborhood scale. Yet the ambivalence connected to a vague relationship is present. She might be a member of the family, but also a professional who works for the family. The identity of otherness of a migrant woman that makes her employer see her as a foreigner, the employer's absence from the household due to her own professional activities, along with the diminution of her attachment to household work and care, are factors that gradually seem to infuse domestic work with a professional status. At the same time, a traditional friendliness, a concern for those, quote, working for us, viewed as socially and financially inferior, and other, perhaps even self-interested reasons, contribute to the creation of a personal and friendly rapport. It is also important to keep in mind that besides a migrant's need for steady work, she also has an emotional need for amicability, support, and acceptance in the new environment. These needs are interconnected. A migrant place within a place. The migrant woman, after maintaining a house that is not her own and turning it into a desired place for others, returns to the neighborhood in which she has set up her own household. Although a foreigner, she is keen to create and maintain the presuppositions of familiarity in the new environment. Within the neighborhood, migrant women become visible in the condensed functions of their everyday lives that produce the area's positive and negative representations. In Kipseli, early in the evening, we see the emergence of a parallel neighborhood. As the noise from various local activities subsides, we hear the many different languages of migrant women and men gathering outside call centers, phone booths, and kiosks that connect them with their homeland. Schools and daycare centers have been enriched through a school population of children from many different countries. Public spaces come alive through children of all ages, their parents, and local elderly people accompanied by migrant women caregivers. Migrant women who take care of children and the elderly reconnect local people with their neighborhood, but also with their compatriots. Bakers, grocers, butchers, and other shop owners, along with friends and family members of local and migrant women, pass on job opportunities for domestic help and caretaking, creating in this way an improvised and impromptu mechanism for entry into this informal job market. Young women, sometimes without payment, will keep elderly women company in return for the support they might have given them in the past, or will take them food despite the taboos surrounding cooking. Some of the neighboring local women will agree to sign documents declaring that they are employers of migrant women they might not employ. How migrant women talk about the neighborhood. Eleni's narrative is a vivid example. My sister, quote, my sister-in-law, they came 2 years before we did. She knew more people and a neighbor, a Greek woman that took us in with rent, of course. She began to help me very much. She found work for me at houses. Another woman neighbor, a Greek woman with a golden heart, slipped 30,000 drachmas in her pocket as help when she first arrived in 1997. As soon as I came to Kipseli, I found work with a woman here. The pharmacist in the neighborhood, we started talking, and without knowing me, she said, I will find work for you. And the lady took me into work who had a husband who had paralysis for many years. After I began finding work from house to house, person to person, and so I managed very well. A woman, for example, would recommend me to people. She was satisfied. She would recommend me to another woman, and this is how I found all these houses. Now, Eleni's siblings and parents live a street down where she lives. My parents helped me a lot. For 4 years I worked from morning to evening. This is because my mother was near and she would come when the children were very young. She also worked, so I couldn't ask her to come to my house too. I could not exhaust her. So I asked her just to look after them, and that would be it. Like today, when the children no longer need her, the grandmother, that much, if I don't visit my parents, my father gets upset. You haven't been here for 2 days, he says. Unquote. Eleni's landlady lives across the street. They meet every day and sometimes twice a day. Eleni now works at her landlady's house once a week. She's 83. We take her the newspaper, food, whenever she orders something from a shop, from the baker, the grocer. She gave this house for Antiparochi, and when it was built, she asked me if I wanted to come. Eleni did move house. Now, when we come out, her window is just across. She might need something during the night. If I cook something nice, I take her some. When she buys something that she knows my daughter likes, something she knows I don't cook, she will also get some for my children. With a lady we met, one day I had gone out to the courtyard, we were both hanging clothes, and we spoke. Later, she went to the pharmacy. She struck up a conversation with the pharmacist, who knew me for some years, and so we began to speak. Eleni began to claim her right to belong to the neighborhood through a process of familiarization that involved acceptance by the locals and through her and her children's contribution to the community processes. I know Kipseli very well, the whole neighborhood. It appears that the absence of an official professional framework for domestic work and the various conditions that contribute to the development of personal relationships between migrant women and local employers, as well as the pre-existing neighborhood tradition, allows for the development of practices and conceptualization that buttress both personal relationships and relations with the neighborhood. Provisionally seem to point to the following. First, the revival and reformation of spatial and social relations within the neighborhood. The second, the elimination of negative representations of Kipseli through the choices of migrant women and the process through which they become familiar with this environment. And third, the neighborhood as a mechanism of social integration. The strategies for combining paid domestic work with house and child care act as incentives for migrant women to set in a central area like Kipseli due to low rent, public transport availability, proximity to friends and relatives, and an availability of schools and daycare centers. The networks of migrant mutual support, local women, residents, and shop owners, along with those that develop between migrant women, women employers, women neighbors, and shop owners, bestow upon the neighborhood its distinctive atmosphere and identity. This combination of all these networks become the main channel of job opportunities for migrant women. Their initial choices at a given spatio-temporal juncture made on the so-called negative aspects of the neighborhood, low rent, for example, in the process of their implementation become part of that place's restructuring. In this place, created and recreated by Eleni and many other migrant women, we can trace today the visible and symbolic ties of their attachment to it and their claim to belong. Within a context of global restructuring that includes nations and people, we see the dispersion of families in different lands, along with networks of mutual support in neighborhoods, mechanisms of social integration connected to particular spaces and bottom-up action that combines with top-down political processes. Behind this changing spatiality of social relations, we see what Dyckack and McLaren call feminine landscapes of habitation, that is to say, the connection between the feminization of migration and the creation of spaces within spaces in the urban destination and the neighborhoods in which women migrants construct a new everyday life. By this, and we end here, we seek to emphasize the particular ways in which women perceive and experience neighborhoods as a part of the more general category of everyday speciality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe before we start the discussion, I would like to ask the other members of the team if you want to add something.
No.
Okay. So please, questions and remarks. First, Dimitris.
I would ask for the last intervention.
Louder.
Space is something often underestimated in migration. That's why I think it was very interesting, both of the two interventions. I want to ask about the mobility, spatial mobility of migrant women within the space, and also about the floors. Many times the floors are the
where
sign
they
of
live.
Of
flows where they live.
And if there is mobility, it remains in the limits of the neighborhood, or there's mobility outwards also. The second question is, as I understood, there is an attachment with the neighborhood from the side of migrant women. They are attached to the neighborhood. If there is a if they feel a sort of threat, but if there is any gentrification process in itself, as it
not
has
yet.
Happened.
No, not yet.
Not
there
yet.
Is not a gentrification process. No, no, in itself,
okay.
No, there
it
is.
It goes in Gazi, Keramikos Petralo now.
Yes,
yes,
I know what.
And the third question, just for if you have examined the public transport as a mediate space. Because many times in Athens, migrants and migrant women use the public transport, especially the buses, and it is a space where they negotiate also works. You see, three, four domestic workers who speak with employers, etc.
That we are talking about apartment house.
Apartment buildings. Yes, and maybe you talked only about Kipseli. Maybe you could say something also if there's a difference with the other neighborhoods.
No, we are not ready. Talk about another area.
There are differences. But I think that Kipseli is a very good example.
Yeah. Okay.
Something very characteristic.
But if you want to know some more about the other neighborhood, Sepolia, which is very close to Kipseli, it has another history. It is a more,
Low class.
Yes.
Neighborhood.
Although Kipsaley was a place where the the upper class, middle class, used to be
upper class and middle class. Yes.
Sepolia is a working class neighborhood. Yes. This is one difference. The other one is that Kipsaley was a place where all these block of flats were built between the 50s and 80s. Sepolia have a lot of small old buildings, yes, old houses, which are at this time being demolished, and in this land, now there are constructed new block of flats. Also, Sepolia is under the line of the
metro,
the train. So there is a difference again. Kipsaley is on the one side and Sepolia the other one. And during the first years, a metro station has been built there, Sepolia, which gives new possibilities for the neighborhood
to develop.
Yes.
We have seen many differences in Kipsaley. Kipsaley is now really different after immigrants have come. Maybe after years we'll see some such differences in Sepolia.
Okay. I will take more remarks and questions.
We have to ask to Dimitris.
Yes.
Yes. Questions.
Yes. No, I was thinking to group more
questions. It's very difficult. We are not using English.
Okay. One by one. Yes.
Something for you about threat. It's very strange that a couple of immigrant women with their families and young children in Kipsaley talk about the threat of foreigners in Kipsaley. And one of them is Albanian, but both of them talked about the Albanian threat in the neighborhood. And just some kind of joke about Kipsaley. We found Kipsaley was mentioned in one of the Guardian's sites where people suggest places to visit in different countries, in different cities. And for the first time in Athens, Kipsaley was suggested as the most densely populated area of Athens.
Suggested. And at the same time, people from many countries.
Yes, multicultural.
A multicultural place.
You didn't answer about the floors where migrants live. A bit louder so that everybody can listen.
What we have tried, although we can't make generalizations, the other part of our team has
the statistical
register.
A lot of information on this
on site.
What we have seen is that when they first came in Athens, the migrants, and they lived in
basements
or maybe in the underground apartments, and also first floors. Now, after about 10 or 15 years of since they arrived in Athens, they have the possibility to pay rent and live in
higher up.
And some of them can buy.
Especially Albanians.
Albanians, they buy houses in...
It's not your turn. Okay, first...
About the possibilities, okay. I'm seeing that you're waiting for an answer. Albanian and Bulgarian women are moving move all the time with public transport, using public transportation, and this is why they get to use to move in the city and get familiar to the city. They use two or three buses in a day, four buses and the train, and that we found from the research is that the one reason that they choose to live in Kipseli is this facility that Kipseli has many
good connections
with many other neighborhoods and areas in the city. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Many times the bus stations are a point of reference for a meeting. Mm-hmm.
And especially from a station. From the train station. Mm. They use it like a bushel.
They use the metro station or bus station as the point of orientation for them, mainly during their first years, first days maybe, of their installation in the city.
Okay, Pothiti.
Yes, I think it's a pity that Labrini could not be here, because she, with her paper, I think we are at the core of the workshop, and a very challenging paper, and I think that this space trouble, that gender trouble, that she described, it turns upside down what we know about space and public and private. But also, it is not only, as she says, new meanings, but new households. And I think this answers adds to Effie's question. Because yes, what we see is a different, a huge differentiation in the reorganization of the space, of households, and of family relations, finally, which is something that completely new in
a new
society.
Historian can now trace all the inheritance of history.
Yes. We see it in the Bulgarian case, but also in the Albanian case, in living in the world, where, for example, and Jacqueline Andal has talked about it also, in her work in Italy, and but also in Athens, where an Albanian domestic worker was employed to care for an elderly person, and then when this person died, she moved to the son's house with her daughter from Albania, and
took over.
She calls this family without marriage. So we are, I think, in a huge reorganization of our family, and not only meanings of space and household.
Okay, Aki?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Berenice paper complements very nicely what we are trying to do. I was just thinking of a childhood memory, a neighbor of mine when I was living in my paternal household, having a domestic servant, living with her, and eventually she inherits, you know, part of his property. I mean, apparently they have a relationship, but never formalized. What I mean is that probably this kind of domestic work arrangements, which assume a content which definitely transcends the boundaries that most of the literature describes, again may have a historical depth much bigger than what we assume. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is in relation with your presentation, there is this idea of the open household, open in the sense that it is oriented towards public space, the boundaries between public and private are being constantly transcended, and of course it's flexible outwards, sometimes it's looking inwards, sometimes it is looking outwards. And this image comes out from lots of ethnographies of the Greek countryside, let's say. Okay. Kypseli, historically, I suppose it's the example of the urban space, classic, typical, in quotes, urban space, where you have a bourgeois households much more inwards oriented, the boundary between public and private are much properly guarded. Okay. So I have the feeling that one issue that perhaps you could expand more in reacting to what I'm saying and perhaps in reworking your paper, has to do with the fact that this kind of, the influx of migrants in this kind of urban neighborhoods, I have the feeling that because I'm living in a neighborhood of this kind in Athens, it brings forward characteristics that have to do with rural migration in Athens
yes.
in the post-war period. Mm. And I have the feeling many times that Albanian, particularly Albanian migrants, are really have many characteristics with rural migrants in the 50s and 60s. So how, therefore, if we play with this dualism, urban-rural, which is in Greece is very problematic because I mean, Athens is really a conglomeration of villages in the post-war period, and it has many of the characteristics of villages. Okay, I got the feeling that we have a revival of this situation: children playing on the streets, chairs being taken out of the houses. The courtyards are being revived. The house has a tendency to be expanding towards the street, reappropriating the street. But of course, now we are not in the 50s and the 60s. Okay, now we are in the beginning of the 21st century. So, if this process takes place, I mean, what are the effects? I mean, is it easy to have this kind of renegotiation of the boundary between the household and the neighborhood? And to what extent can this renegotiation be done by migrants of this particular category? Okay. So that's something that I'm just putting forward to.
That's very useful. Do you want to respond to this?
It's a question in a way.
No, this is one of the things that we see, saw in the field, that this lively neighborhood, which 10 years ago was very closed. And the hypothesis of work is this, that how emigrants transform urban reality. Neighborhoods we were more familiar to see them as with negative terms. Suddenly they become more attractive, not in the sense of gentrification, but in other sense.
I think that we agree that it's better when the neighborhood is vivid.
Hmm? I have no, I don't know at all. I mean, if you ask me...
You don't know? You are not sure. No, I'm asking you.
I'm asking, if you want, we can have a debate on that. I don't have, I mean...
You don't think it's interesting that the neighborhood is vivid?
No. No, I mean, I try to keep a tension between my value system and what I'm trying to study. I mean, and that's, I think it's a crucial crucial point.
No, for me personally.
And it refers also to your work. I mean, if you want, we can push it further. I mean, feminization of space is not by definition something good, nor is it something bad. It's something that happens, and we should try to see how it happens. What is the content of feminization of space? I mean, what issues emerge through this feminization? Does it have the same form that it had perhaps 30 or 40 years ago in a village, in the city? I mean, I wouldn't hurry to say that.
Yes,
it's a nice thing.
For us it's
no, I think it's a very nice thing for me personally. It's very strange to me when you say that no, you don't agree. I don't know you.
In the evening, I mean, when we're going to have dinner, I mean, I can tell you how much I agree with you.
Ah.
In the context of this discussion, I think that.
I'm not really. A scientist, I'm just an architect.
I'm a poor anthropologist. I mean, you are a scientist.
And
I
think it's that which is happening in Kipseli is very interesting, and not only in Kipseli. Kipseli is really transformed. And I think it's not a matter that we are in 2007 or 1950. It's a matter of people, and it's a matter of the community, how it changes. And when the people around are like this, they make the presence. It's not to have a definition before. Did you understand? Because I'm not used in English.
All right.
My
English are very poor, but I'll try to say something. We have the narrations of two employers who are very. Who are tied with the neighborhood. This neighborhood, Kipseli. And we have two contradictory
narratives?
Narratives, yes. Mm. For one of them, who is about 40 years old and who has two young children, but she doesn't live Kipseli now. She works. She only works there. This transformation has.
A negative value.
Mm. For the other one, who is a woman of. 60 years old, there is no problem for this transformation. She says that everybody is polite and maybe sometimes migrant immigrants and usually men are very good with hair. They offer a seat in the bus and they smile when she comes closer to them. And we see that there is different approaches and different evaluations of this transformation. I'm sorry.
Well, the next question or remark was by Anne.
Yes, I really liked the centrality of the photos to the analysis in the Lambrini piece, and the absence of the domestic chores in the photos themselves. And I wondered, you probably don't know the answer to this, but the extent to which maybe those photos were also for home consumption in Bulgaria, in that the migratory project is always portrayed as a successful one. And that, you know, as you were saying, with this domestic work may be seen as sort of rather inferior work. And, you know, the efforts that migrants will go to say, you know, that everything has worked out fine, the rosy picture of the, of the migratory.
Yeah, that's a good remark. And there is also the male equivalent of that in the photos. Because very rarely they have pictures of their work.
Yeah.
Only one example, which is an exception, because he is also an artist. So he has made very beautiful stone works, etc. And he used it again to stress the success story. And all the other pictures in the male migrants' photo album are always to confirm this image.
Can I say something on this point?
Yeah.
Directly related. I think that, and also hearing to the many narratives that you have recorded, I think that it's very important for all of us who are being involved in this job at the moment. I mean, studying immigrant work and experiences of work in Greece. And most of us are natives, I mean, we are Greeks. Therefore, we belong to the one part of this equation. I mean, some of us may be, landlords and landladies. I mean, we're employers. So we should situate these narratives in the wider context, and also in the context of our relationship with these particular people with whom we relate. And I think the more we do that, I think the more the shades of this of the narratives will come forward, and will be much more easy to use them in the context of other purposes. I mean, either to speak about the household or whatever. And I have the feeling that I mean, the study of migrant workers at the moment in Greece, it's a major challenge in this sense, because it's the first time that we study the kind of internal cultural other. Again, it's very refined, this term, but I'm using it very provisionally to make sense of what I'm trying to say. We have people who come from different parts of the world, speak different languages, they have different cultural understandings of many things. And these encounters, which particularly in the study of domestic work take place in a work environment and in the context of hierarchical work relationships, I think that should be situated in the context in which they belong and of which we are a part of it.
Okay, thank you for this comment, but I think it was not related to
it's a general point. No, it doesn't. Sorry, I didn't refer to.
No, but you had not the right to have privilege. Okay, the next question is by friends.
Sorry, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was something with Demetrius and something with Annie's, I think. I was also very, very struck by what I wanted to say. First of all, is I think these two papers were absolutely beautiful. I just I love listening to them, and I think the material in both of them is really, really wonderful, it, almost to the extent that it seems a shame to overanalyze it. I was really struck with the photo too, and I was remembering when I was listening just lots and lots of times when I've been in Poland and sitting with people who are showing me photos of their children or spouses when they're working abroad, and there, and it's always that there's never anybody else in the photo, and they're always located in a beautiful place. If it's in Italy, it might be an outside square, or it might be a beautiful inside place. But and it's always clear to me that it's that these aren't their spaces, but the way that they're shown is always ambiguous. So they're shown without explanation. You know, it's here's Danka in Rome. Isn't that a beautiful room? And so you could read it anyway. And I think that that's really, really important. And it seems to me that what a lot of this is about is the way that that we have to look at the communication and all of the different exchanges that are going both ways, you know, of information and goods and everything, that they're not, you know, they're going between Albania and Athens and Athens and Albania. And I was thinking that, you know, things like that, when we talk about the bus and ways of transporting or transmitting information. But in London at the moment, we have almost every neighbourhood I could think of has a Polski sklep, a Polish shop. And that's a sort of later on stage, it seems to me. First of all, you get the migration and people who are the first people arriving who possibly get things sent from home, or things that might be, they might be consumer goods, or they might be food, and that allows them to make some sense of a home in this other place, and some sense of consumption, and things that make a house and a family. And then it seems that the next stage in making these vivid, vibrant neighbourhoods is in a way that becomes much, much more generally available, and so you have people setting up shops and selling something that becomes much more everyday. In other words, it's not just from your family there to here, but it's something that becomes much more routinely available. And I wondered if that was something that was happening in Athens. I wonder if there's a way that being Albanian in Athens stops being something that's very closely confined to family and becomes something that's if there's a way that people are entering the economy sort of at the second stage to provide services and goods for the people who are there working. Is that clear? Sorry, the roundabout.
Την έρευνά μας την κάνουμε, μάλλον ένα κομμάτι της έρευνας γίνεται από δύο διαφορετικές ομάδες. Εμείς που είμαστε σήμερα εδώ εκπροσωπούμε τη μία ομάδα, είναι άλλες τρεις κυρίες που έχουμε δουλέψει μαζί.
So there's another research group.
Ναι, και που έχουμε ασχοληθεί με τις συνεντεύξεις και με το υλικό αυτό σας κάναμε και τη σημερινή παρουσίαση. Παράλληλα, μια άλλη ομάδα δουλεύει πάνω στις γειτονιές, προσπαθώντας να καταγράψει και να δούμε τι ακριβώς γίνεται με όλα αυτά τα θέματα.
A whole research group is trying to answer your question.
She said more than that. Let's read.
If I may just add a small comment on this, comparing Athens maybe with a smaller town, Volos, that it's, first of all, I think it appears from all interviews, also in other research groups, that the dream of all migrants is to set up their own business, either in Greece or back at home. But our experience also shows how difficult it is. And we had only one male Albanian man who managed to open a souvlaki spot. I think it was the one with the soft hands.
Mm-hmm. With Albanian.
No. But I know also from my students, because this souvlaki shop was very close to the university, that many people didn't want to go there because he was Albanian. And he has already closed down.
I was just talking to a Slovak anthropologist who's working with Roma in Slovakia. He's Czech, working with Slovak Roma. And he was staying with some in London, just in passing. And what he said is that everybody phoned him from the village in Slovakia, from the settlement, to give him their lists of the things that he was to bring back. And they phoned from England before he came to say what he had to bring to England for them from Slovakia. And what they said is, and he started listing the things that he expected, and they said, no, we don't need those anymore. We can get those in all the Polish shops. We can even get them in Indian shops now. No, we want this, this, and this. And it was a quite different sense of what needed to be brought. It was much more to do with things that were much cheaper or mechanical or something. And this idea, it was no longer this sort of anxiety about reproducing the things that make you Slovak or make you Albanian.
Yes?
They want papers from Albania, and in all these regions and neighborhoods, all these who sell newspapers, now they have newspapers from Albania. This is the one that's The other thing that they wanted to buy, but they are not, it's Albanian coffee, which is exactly like the Greek coffee, but it's more strong and black. Yeah. That's what they say. But on the other hand, they don't think that in Albania they have something special that they want to have here, and so to have magazine shops to buy this. The things that they want to bring from Albania, and they bring by themselves, because they visit Albania one or three times per year. It's things from their own house. Their mother or a grandmother has tomatoes, potatoes, cheese, things like this. Yeah. But they are things of the house, not things of the country. Yeah. It's something different.
Things that are ours.
Yes. But the thing that when I went in Albania, and we have nothing here to something special, but only a fish that is in Crete. They say that it's only in this lake that this fish exists. But
very good fish.
Yes, but they have not a specific way to cook it.
Yeah. But that's what I meant, things that are just ours, that are just the family, and then at what point it moves to being something that's much more regional or national and can actually say
this. Asian migrants do this.
And I've seen it so clearly with Paul's and different ways in different ways.
So we have one more.
Just an observation that Albanians seem to prefer to act and behave not as foreigners but as natives. Yeah. They don't want to be recognized.
They don't want to be seen.
They don't want to be recognized, identified as foreigners. Yeah. And I think they were the first in Kipseli to open shops and tavernas also, but not with staff from Albania. Yes. Yeah. They were handling material from here, and also in the way we handle it here. Mm-hmm. Tavernas, Pechon, and also, they were. I think Albanians were the first to start buying houses in Kipseli, too. Through estate agents. And Albanians can be taken as not Albanians, can be seen. I mean, they adopt ways and
they try to remain invisible.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now we come to our last intervention. Sarah, please.
I'll be very, very brief. I also wanted to say great thank you for both of these papers, because I've recently been reading some of Doreen Massey's work, in particular the book For Space, about the openness and contingency of space rather than it acting as a static backdrop. And these are two wonderful examples of the way that space can be deeply political because of its contingency, because it's not known what space is or where it's going or what its future is. And these are two fabulous examples of that. So I wanted to thank you for that. On a quick thing about this threat of the Albanians, and that even Albanians will talk in public space about the threat of Albanians, which relates to the wish to be invisible as well. And my experience both in Manchester with Albanians and on the Greek-Albanian border in Epirus, there are times when Albanians will speak about Albanians as if it wasn't them, and actually mean what they tended to mean in Epirus was people like the ex-secret police of Hoxha who were released from prisons by Felicia. These were that's what they took the word, the negative word Albanian, to
mean.
It wasn't them. So that kind of. And then finally on the gendered space, again, it's just lovely. Both of the examples were great examples of the complexities of gendered use of space. And I just wanted to add Deborah Pellow's work that in Accra, in Ghana, on the constant transformation of the domestic space and how it did and didn't kind of move into and out of the public space of the city. But in addition, the way that space was openly recombining or becoming other things through the interactions with a whole range of other groups, other cultural groups, other social groups, who both lived in these large kind of combination houses and outside of. It might be a good, interesting example to compare to the Kipseli one. And then just, I'll stop.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll meet again at 5:30. Strict, I think.
We haven't arranged anything for lunch, so
we are 2 hours. 2 hours. 2 hours.
So we are free to. Please, crucial thing. If you want to order a taxi, make sure that you
pay.
Yeah, I mean, last night we had a kind of diplomatic incident with the taxi company. Nobody was there. So I think
this is the place I perform regarding the stage.
Το πιο βαθμό προσέγγιση είναι ασυγκρονιστική, δηλαδή ακόμα και ζήτηση και η ένταξη στο κοινωνικό είναι λέξη που εγώ μπορεί να έχω μια αντιπάθεια.
Και εμείς έχουμε πρόβλημα.
Μας προδιαθέτουμε να σκεφτούμαστε ένα τρόπο που θα το θέμα και να μην είμαστε ανοιχτοί να κορυφθούμε αυτό που είναι οι άνθρωποι και το οποίο στους ίδιοι πράγματι. Οπότε, ας μπορούμε να καταλάβουμε τι συμβαίνει. Ας μην σκάψουμε να βλέπουμε τις πολιτικές προτάσεις και ο επόμενος αγώνας φορά πολιτικές προτάσεις. Αλλά δεν θα μπορούμε να επιβληθούμε το θέμα.